Well, we thank you for being with us this morning in your virtual space, listening online. Just like to open up in prayer, and then Bethany's going to sing. We can sing a hymn together with her. Go ahead and bow your heads at home. Father, I thank you for today, Lord God. I thank you for your Son. I thank you that in the midst of trying times like this, we have somebody who we can run to. Somebody we can put our trust in, someone who loves us and cares for us. Not just for us, but the whole world, Lord God. We ask that we would be a good witness to those around us during this time, and that your name would be glorified throughout the earth. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Bethany. That was a beautiful song. Our scripture reading today is taken from Psalm 46, 1 through 3, and verse 10. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Many believe that this psalm was the basis of Martin Luther's hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, in which God is referred to as a mighty fortress and a bulwark in times of trouble. His point being that God alone is our refuge and no other. Nothing in this world is a comparable refuge. However, some people think they are secure because they have enough money. So they lay it up in bank accounts, stocks and bonds, and other tangible assets like gold and silver and precious stones. But as you know, we are currently in the middle of a virus outbreak of pandemic proportions, which wiped out a third of the stock market assets in just a few days. Now, granted, recently the stock market has bounced back, showing increases that are unprecedented since the 1930s. And because the stock market has rebounded, people are feeling more secure. But the market still remains volatile. Personally, I felt God was using the stock market crash to cause people to look to a more permanent and lasting means of security. One can only hope and pray that people would turn to God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Other people think that their peace and security come from their specialized training, their skills, their personal talents. But even the best educated and highly skilled people suffer reversals of fortunes when what? When sickness and disease and times of economic uncertainties come. Still, others draw security from their families and friends and even business connections, which are some of the closest and dearest relationships we have here on earth. But at best, they are only human supports that can be suddenly swept away. The psalmist in our reading today has the right focus, for he's looking to God as the source of inner strength and peace when faced with calamities. Sometimes God in His divine sovereignty shields us from afflictions, but at other times He comforts us through them. But at all times, the psalmist says, because of God's superintendence over his life, he can and he will express a fearless trust in God. As believers, we know that God's presence is with us moment by moment. We also know that whatever life in this fallen world brings our way, in the end, we have an eternal future with Him. Therefore, we will not fear because His word to His people, as the psalmist said, is to be still and know that He is God. However, to truly experience the peace and safety of God's care, it requires some things. First, it requires a personal relationship with God through faith in His Son's death on the cross for our sins. This begins the eternal relationship. Secondly, it requires a fixed disposition of trust. We have to cast ourselves and all of our cares upon Him without reservation. To trust in one's own abilities, part of the time, and God the other part of the time is a sure prescription for insecurity and anxiety. Now granted, this is something we must remind ourselves of, because often we find ourselves headed in the wrong direction. But nonetheless, God has proven Himself to be faithful to His children. Even in times such as these, we can genuinely sing from our hearts and experiences, sing the lines of the great hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." Listen to this hymn writer's words. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet through trials,
should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. You know, this beautiful hymn was written by a man named Horatio Spafford, who was a successful lawyer and a Sunday school teacher in his Presbyterian church. But his life was marked with tragedy and loss. The Chicago Fire of 1871 wiped out his large real estate holdings. Then in 1873, upon the advice of his wife's physician, he planned a family vacation in Europe. Spafford sent his family on ahead aboard a ship. But while it was out on the high seas, it collided with another ship and sunk. His wife was saved, but his four daughters perished. Spafford took the next boat to meet his wife in Cardiff, Wales, where the survivors were taken. As he was sailing past the very spot where his daughters perished, he wrote the lyrics to "It Is Well to My Soul." You can imagine the mixed emotions that flooded Horatio Spafford in those moments. And yet he chose to encourage himself in the Lord and trust in his Savior, remembering his own salvation and the resting place of his daughters, who are most likely in the presence of the Lord. As I have spoken with many people in regard to the coronavirus and the economic effect it is having on our world and all the uncertainties that lie ahead, I have noticed a marked difference between those that have faith in God and those who don't. And although this does not rule out even Christians giving into fear and anxiety at times, it is all too easy to let the huge surge of information concerning the death toll, the temporary loss of employment, the quarantine measures in place, and the drastically fluctuating economy to overshadow the faith and the resulting peace of even Christians. But for the Christian, we can be and are assured that we can live with an abiding peace in even the most life-threatening circumstances. But how? Well, quite frankly, by keeping our minds fixed upon our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, I am reminded of God's word to his people, delivered through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. You keep him or her in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. In some of my conversations these past weeks, I have spoken to some that are very fearful and are looking to men and women to solve the problems and to calm their fears related to the coronavirus. And listen, no doubt a vaccine to treat COVID-19, along with the much needed and necessary medical supplies and the accommodations, would relieve many people's fears. But as I understand, these are most likely some time away. In the meantime, how can one find inner peace and assurance as we wait? For those who have faith in Christ and are God's children, they can live in perfect peace by keeping their minds fixed upon God, doing battle with any errant thoughts that would come in and want to rob them of their faith and trust in God. The Apostle Paul's prescriptions to combat anxiety and fear in all situations is found in Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, the Apostle Paul practiced this, and he could write from experience in verse 11, "For I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do everything through him who gives me strength." He goes on to say in verse 19, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." You know, the Apostle Paul took the words of Jesus to heart and then applied them in faith. Listen to Jesus' words to his disciples that apply to all of his faith-filled children, recorded in John 14, 27. "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Notice this, we play an active part in not letting our hearts be troubled or giving in to fear. And because we are in a personal relationship with God through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, we too can enter into the peace and rest that surpasses our understanding and conquers every fear. As I read that, I was reminded of another great hymn called "Jesus, I Am Resting," written by Jean S. Pigeot. Listen to the words. "Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of what thou art. I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart. Thou hast bid me gaze upon thee, and thy beauty fills my soul. For by thy transforming power, thou hast made me whole. Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of what thou art. I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart. Simply trusting thee, Lord Jesus, I behold thee as thou art, and thy love, so pure, so changeless, satisfies my heart. It satisfies its deepest longings, meets, supplies its every need, compasses me around with blessings. Thine is love indeed. Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of what thou art. I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart." You know, when you name Jesus as your Savior and honor him with your life, you need not fear anything in this world. You can rest knowing God's caring eye is watching over you. Listen to Jesus' words found in Matthew 6, 25 through 27, regarding his care for his people. "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life?" Again, this week, this passage brought to mind another great hymn written by Savilla D. Martin in 1905 called His Eye is on the Sparrow. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home when Jesus is my portion? My constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Let not your heart be troubled, His tender word I hear, and resting on His goodness, I lose my doubts and fears. Though by the path He leadeth, but one step I may see, His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I've talked with a lot of people, some who are not believers, who have come to the conclusion that material things just don't matter that much. Things like the stock market declining, the loss of income, the shortage of some products, although toilet paper, well, that's a different matter altogether. They say that in the midst of all this, they are learning to be content and thankful for what they have. That reminded me of yet another great hymn that expresses a way to maintain peace and joy in times like these called Count Your Blessings, composed in 1897 by Johnson Oatman Jr. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it'll surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Are you burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Not sure that was all the right melody, but you get the idea. The final scripture I want to leave you with today is taken from the prophet Nahum, whose name means comfort. Nahum 1:7. The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in Him. I'd like to leave you with this story today. A father, seeing three small children playing atop a high fence, feared that they would fall and so cried out, "Come, jump into my arms." Two of them promptly did so. The other hesitated. Why did the third child react more slowly, an onlooker asked? The father explained, "The first two obeyed immediately because they were my own children. They knew me, and therefore they trusted me." So it is with those who truly know and love the Lord. Their leap of faith is not into the great unknown, but into the arms of their heavenly Father. Let us pray. Father, we thank You that in times of uncertainty, we do not need to fear. For You have us in the palm of Your hands. We pray for Your glory to be made known throughout the nations, and that You would put an end to the spread of the coronavirus. We also pray that many would come to rest their weary minds and emotions in Your Son Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross for their sins, and that You would wrap Your loving and everlasting arms around them and calm their fears, and give them the contentment and peace in knowing that you are their Father, and as their children, your children, they are safe and secure in your loving arms. Amen and amen. Join me wherever you're at home or in your pajamas, sitting in your living room or whatever the case may be. Join me in singing another great hymn in closing called Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.